Thank you, Gillian, and thank you for your singing tonight. Well, let us turn again in our Bibles to Psalm 121, and with the book opened, at that place we'll bow our hearts and we'll pray. Good to see Ruby out tonight with us, and we trust the Lord will continue to bless our sister Ruby. And do remember again those that are not so well. And remember again the new building as it opens, God willing, on the 31st of August. And if nothing else, I tell you there'll be a lot of people coming that night to see this kitchen, because it's the top of the country. And we trust everything works. And the sausage rolls will be warmed for us that night. But we're looking forward. The Lord is good. And we trust that God, His presence will fill the house. And that we'll see souls saved, boys and girls, and men and women. Well, let's just bow for a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we do thank Thee, Lord, for the opportunity to meet and to gather here in this way. We've been singing, Lord, these beautiful hymns, and we think of the truths, the sentiments that are expressed in the words and the lines and the verses. And Lord, they communicate to our minds, Lord, the wonderful doctrines of the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank Thee that Christ is the Savior. And we know, Lord, He is the only Savior, so He must be our Savior. Christ is the rock, and all other are shamrocks. We ask now, Lord, for Thy help, even in the pulpit. We pray, Lord, that Thou wilt help in the pew, and together we will know the Lord speak to us from out of His precious word. And I pray, Lord, for that equipping of the Spirit of God, that Christ will be glorified, the church will be edified, and sinners will be challenged and exhorted and invited to come and believe. Lord, that's what we pray. We pray tonight that men and women in this meeting will believe to the saving of their soul. We ask this in Jesus' precious and wonderful name. Amen. Amen. I really want to speak on the first verse of Psalm 121, verse 1. It says there, I will lift up mine eyes unto the hills, from whence cometh my help. My help cometh from the Lord, which made heaven and earth. And as I said, it is believed, although it's not the only belief. I was looking this afternoon at some of the explanations why this psalm and these psalms are called the Song of Degrees or the Song of Ascents. And some have believed and put forward the view that each psalm was sung on a step, and there were steps, and as the singers, there were singers, of course, in the temple dedicated to that, the singing of the Lord's praise, and that each song was sung on each step. Well, I don't know about that. Personally, I would rather go with the view that they were sung as the pilgrims went up to the temple. And it is true, by the way, I've only been to Israel once in 2006. And I remember being down at the Dead Sea, which is the lowest point on the earth, they tell us, below sea level. And around the Jericho area is very, very low in the earth, But then as you go to Jerusalem, you are climbing. And I remember looking out the window of the bus and seeing the climb. And noticing that when you're down there, Jericho, and everything is burnt and really barren. But as you ascend up to the city of Jerusalem, things begin to, the shrubbery and the grass become more and more green and more and more green and lush as you ascend up to the city of Jerusalem. But anyhow, here we have one of these Song of Degrees. And do you hear them singing? They're singing, I will lift up mine eyes onto the hills, from whence cometh my help. You know, as these pilgrims journeyed from their homes and from their various towns and villages, I'm sure those hills gave them encouragement. Because those hills around the city represented to them even the Lord. And you know, I grew up, as I'm sure you've heard me say, I'm maybe tired of hearing me say it, in this town. 52 years I've been in this town. 52 years. Played as a boy in the streets. I went to Castle Gardens, went to Mavilla. A lot of good that did me. Ended up a postman. And I worked for 2 years in Belfast when I left school, and then I joined the post office, and I've been working in the post office nearly 34 years, and much of that in and around the town here. And I've seen over those 52 years, this is not the same town physically that it was in those days. I mean, for instance, where Mr. and Mrs. Johnson live, I was telling them I used to come down those fields on a sledge in the snow, Gallows Hill. And I do remember one occasion we got a roof of a car. Now, the car wasn't still on the roof, but the roof was off the car. We turned her upside down. A whole crowd of us got onto that. And I tell you, we got up some speed. We couldn't stop. And if my memory's correct, we went right to the bottom through the hedge and nearly ended up in Tommy Stanage's builder's yard. But the town has changed. And streets have changed. There's a lot of new housing around here and up the Mavilla Road. And even the physical nature of the town centre has changed somewhat. But you know what? And of course, people have come and gone in life. There's one thing that hasn't changed. Not Scrabble Hill. And as I look out my window and I can see Scrabble from my home, it looks just the same as it looked when I was a boy looking out. The hills, you see, they remind us of God because they're always there. They're high. And especially in Jerusalem, they provide safety. The hills were the high places where people would go for safety. Difficult to attack a high vantage point. And I'm sure also, you know, as the people viewed the hills, and as we view hills and mountains, we not only think of their grandeur and their greatness and their size and how they're always there. They seem to bring to our minds, we think of that verse even, the everlasting hills. They seem permanent in that sense compared to all that's changing around about us. But it also brings to our minds our own smallness. The fact that we're not always around. And our need. And as we think of the pilgrims singing this song as they go up to Jerusalem, you know, it reminded me of a gospel song. I love this song. Don't know if the choir has ever sung it, but it'd be no harm if they did. Now, I told you this morning that I love old westerns. And maybe I say too much. But I'll tell you, I have one pastime. I'm not into sport. I couldn't run the length of myself. And I don't play golf. And I don't do woodwork. And I never go near DIY. Never. But you mightn't believe this, but I collect songs. I'm a collector of songs. I love singing and I love music. Big time. And over the years, I love ballads. Now, I don't like, there was somebody playing a song in our work the other morning. It was one of these pop songs, and they if they didn't sing the same line about 100,000 times. Now, to me, that's useless gibberish. But I love a ballad. I love a song with a beginning and a middle and an end. And over the years, I've collected songs about shipwrecks, songs about war, songs about the Ulster men at the Somme, songs about the American Civil War, songs about famous people in history, and of course, gospel songs and songs about the faith. I love songs, and I trace their origin and why they were written and who wrote them, and I try and find a copy somewhere in the world, and either buy the CD or download it on the internet. But here's a lovely gospel song from the southern states of America. Listen to these words. And I'm sure the person that wrote this must have been thinking about Psalm 121. Though sometimes I'm disappointed by the friends that I hold dear, I refuse to be defeated by the ghosts of doubt and fear. I could think about my weakness, keep my eyes upon the sod. Oh, but my help comes from the mountain that brings me close to God. Oh, there's something about a mountain that reaches to the sky, that speaks of things eternal, of a hope that never dies. Like the blessed rock of ages, repose amid the dim. I'll just go up to the mountain and keep my trust in Him. This old wilderness holds nothing, and I'm not content to stay. For I've seen the land of riches, there's milk and honey every day. I'll not let the mighty giants blind my eyes to Canaan's land. Oh, there's a mountain to remind me that victory's close at hand. And surely the Spirit of God is communicating to us in Psalm 121, and it's also expressed in that gospel song, that the mountain speaks to us of God. God's permanency. The fact that He's the everlasting God. The fact that He's majestic and great and high and provides safety and encouragement. And brothers and sisters, as we think about this psalm tonight, I exhort you to do this. One thing I want you to do. I want you to lift up your eyes. Because right there is what's wrong with humanity. Right there is what's wrong with the many in our town who are not at a gospel service. They never lift up their eyes. Eyes down could be the description of many. There's that blindness to the realities that are eternal and everlasting. The greatness and the grandeur and the majesty of Almighty God and the things of God and the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. And there's people, you know, and there's never anything greater and there's never anything grander in their lives than a drink or a gamble. And you know, I deliver in this town, and I'll not name it, but there's a pub in this town. And I go into that pub, quickly come out again, I might add, but I have to deliver the meal. And I go into that pub and I set the meal down in the bar. And this is no word of a lie. If there's somebody sitting just a few feet along that bar, I can't see their face. It's so dark in that pub. It is unbelievably dark. Now, whether it's saving money with electric, I don't know what it is. But it always brings to my heart, it's such a reflection of the darkness in the hearts of people that don't know the Lord. And here the Lord, even through the words of our psalm, as these pilgrims are singing it, would you lift up your eyes? Lift up your eyes above yourself. As Elvis Presley used to sing, who made the mountains and who made the trees? Somebody bigger than you and I. And there's somebody greater and there's somebody bigger than you and I. And how small and how wicked sometimes people's lives are. People sit. Sometimes a postman sees, that is a thing. Sometimes I say if you have to go to a door maybe at 11 or half 11 in the morning and some woman comes to the door to sign a recorder and she's still in her jammies. And she's maybe sitting watching Jeremy Kyle or that other critter and all letting all that flow over their soul. Just so small and so bound to this world and this earth and this fallen condition. And yet here's the Lord saying, I want you to lift up your eyes. I want you to look on to the hills. And even many of you here grew up maybe and you saw Scrabble Hill and it's always been there it seems. And it speaks of that permanency and brings to your mind. And we think then about the mighty mountains of this world and we think of Everest. God saying, lift up your eyes. Oh, man is so small. Man is mortal. If I could maybe be a bit poetic, how many Newton Arch people has Scrabble Hill saw going up Mavilla Road to the cemetery over the years. We're not here forever. The Lord would have us tonight lift up. He says, I will lift up mine eyes. This is personally for you. This is you. Who are you tonight? Who are you tonight? You know, as these pilgrims made their journey and marched and walked to the temple and to the place of worship for the Jews of that day, who were they? Who are you sitting here tonight? How is it with your heart? You know, my Bible tells me that if we're going to deal with God, we've got to deal with God in our heart. And with her heart. This just struck me the other night, but keep your finger there and turn to Romans 10. Just for a moment, Romans 10. And in Romans 10 and the verse 8, speaking here about not the righteousness which is of the law, but the righteousness which is of grace or of faith. How that if you repent and believe, you're saved, not by works of righteousness. And verse 8 says, what saith it? The righteousness which is of faith, what saith it? The word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So this matter is not only or simply a matter of the head. I thank God, God addresses our reason, and he's doing that here. He's exhorting us to lift up our eyes onto the hills. But it's got to be a coming to the Lord in our heart. Your heart. Not the fleshy muscle that's pumping the blood around your body tonight as you sit there, but the heart that belongs to your soul. Heart, mind, will, the affections, the conscience, they all constitute the soul of man. And the Bible says that if we're going to be in heaven and if we're going to know the Lord, we've got to believe in our heart. And there's people today and they're nominal Christians and they have kind of a belief in their head, but they've never committed themselves to Christ in their heart. Never owned Him. You are my Lord and you are my Savior. And whatever happens from this moment forward, Lord, I am trusting, Lord, in You. Now, thinking about that, turn to Psalm 14. Because here's the other side of that coin. Psalm 14. Richard Dawkins' psalm. Well, not really, but certainly applicable to him. And he's a good illustration of this because he is a committed. You see, you could meet somebody down the town and you could say to them, what do you believe? And they might say, I'm an atheist. I don't believe anything. But they're not really committed to that in their heart. It's an opinion they have. They've read somebody say it. But Dawkins is committed in his heart. You see what it says there, Psalm 14, verse 1. Remember, he that believeth in his heart. Well, here's the opposite of that. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. You might say to me, do you think Dawkins is sincere? Not one bit. According to this psalm, Dawkins is a liar, a wicked man. Anybody who in their heart has rejected the Lord and refused the Lord, and in their heart they live the experience that there's no God, you can't trust them people. But he that believeth is saved. And you know, as the pilgrims go up, can you hear them sing, I will lift up mine eyes onto the hills. And I'm urging you tonight and all of us tonight to lift up our eyes. There's people in our town who are living this life where their eyes are always down, spiritually speaking, as it were, morally speaking. They are bound to this earth. They are bound to the fallen world in which we live, the world over which the devil holds sway, and sin is rampant. And there they are, and yet the Lord in love, and the Lord in mercy, and the Lord in grace would come even tonight and urge you tonight, if you're in that condition, to lift up your eyes. To lift up your eyes. Now look what it says. You see, when any man or woman, boy or girl comes to this place, where they lift up their eyes and they understand, maybe for the first time, that God is and that God is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him, that He's the Savior and He has a great plan of redemption and salvation, that the Lord Jesus came from the glory and He came to live for us and He came to die for us and He came to be raised again for us and He purchased our salvation and He atoned for our sins. And now that if you believe, you turn to the Lord and you believe, whatever else you believed before, you repent and you turn to the Lord and you receive God's message of salvation and the person of the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior and your Lord. And that's what is being expressed here. Because look what verse 2 says. Oh, and if you're not a Christian in the meeting tonight, this is our prayer. This is the experience we want you to have. I will lift up mine eyes. And having lifted up their eyes, they're able to testify, my help cometh from the Lord. From the Lord. Here's what man needs. Man needs help. Man needs help. And if you were to make a list of all the varied forms of man's need of help, goodness, there are so many. Even if we went down to the town tonight and went door to door tonight, and if people would be honest tonight and they would talk to us tonight, all the needs would tumble out of people. Some great needs. Some needs that have people maybe even suicidal. Some needs that are pushing people to drink and to drugs. And maybe in others a need to humble themselves, and they're so proud and so self-righteous and so arrogant and so assured of their own strength as a man or a woman. When they would look down at some creator coming to their door with a gospel tract, as if to say, you must be mad, do you think a man like me would need that? And there's great needs, and yet what an experience when you lift up your eyes and you see and understand there's something bigger than you and me, and something greater and something grander and something eternal and everlasting, and we're able to testify, my help cometh from the Lord. And I'm glad I got saved at 17 because I can testify God has helped me. God helps me. Man, does God help me? Which made heaven and earth. Now look at verse 3. We're just continuing down the testimony here. Having lifted up their eyes, you see, that's the real message to me. Something bigger than you, sir. Something bigger than you, missus. Something greater and grander. There's an eternity. How will it be with your soul when you come to the moment, that psychological moment when you die and leave this scene of time and you go out into that eternity? How will it be with your soul? Where will you be when they're laying your body into Mother Earth? Where will you be? That's your body going down in there, but where will you be? I know where I'll be. I'll be with the Lord, absent from the body, present with the Lord. You might say to me, well, do you believe you're a great fellow? Do you believe you deserve that? No, 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 no. I am saved because of the undeserved love and grace and free love of God. And it says there in verse 3, he will not suffer thy foot to be moved. He that keepeth thee will not slumber. Behold, he that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Here we have a God who, when you come to him, you lift up your eyes, you see God and you see Christ and you see there's something big here and something great here, and I need to be saved. I need to know this God. I'm going out into eternity and even to live my life without him. And here we see the Lord's care. He cares for us. You think about that. The Lord who cares for you, he's omnipotent. He's omnipresent and he's omniscient. I got new windows put in the house the other day because I was spending a fortune on a coal fire. And in the winter, I just kept it on because I couldn't be bothered lighting it every time I come home from work. And it was a hard fire to light sometimes. So anyway, I got the gas in and then I said, bless us, I've got that heat in and half the heat's going out the windows. So I got all the windows in and the doors. And you know, I was thinking the other day, telling Roy this afternoon, I can hardly hear a thing now outside. There's our sister May lives next door to me, and they have one of them bouncy things, trampoline in the garden. And the other day there was about eight of them all in this trampoline, and the squeals and the yells, I couldn't hear a thing. And I was saying the other day, what if somebody comes round to break in here? I'll not hear them. Well, I mightn't hear them. God hears them. He that keepeth Israel shall neither slumber nor sleep. Look at verse 5. The Lord is thy keeper. Isn't that amazing? The Lord is thy keeper. It's interesting to know what that is in the Hebrew, because I'll maybe get that put on a sign and put it beside my front door. The Lord is my keeper. Jehovah, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the God of Abraham, Isaac and Jacob, is my keeper, and the keeper of all here who are trusting Christ. And anywhere with Jesus I can safely go, anywhere he leads me in this world below, because no matter where you go, the Lord is there and he's your Savior. You know, if you were to end up on a desert island, I saw the other day on the internet, they've put all the desert island discs on the internet. You can listen to every program. And by the way, Dr. Paisley was on it some years ago, and it's worth listening to. And I don't know if you're familiar with that radio program, but people choose their favorite pieces of music, and then they're allowed, is it two books and a luxury? Two books and a luxury. Remember somebody said his luxury would be an outboard motor and a boat to get off the island. But you know, if it'll never happen, but if you were to fall out of the skies in an aeroplane and you survived and you ended up in the middle of the Pacific or the Atlantic on a wee island all by yourself. Well, you've heard of desert island discs. Well, there's desert island texts of Scripture. The Lord says, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. Oh, when you lift up your eyes, when you see that there's something bigger and greater in this life and in this world, in the life you're living. And the Bible says, blessed is he whose transgressions are forgiven. Blessed. The fullness of blessing. Absolute, whole, and rounded fulfillment and blessing. And I saw a couple interviewed in the BBC News the past week. They won 140-something million on a lottery ticket. And somebody told me that the interest alone is £8,000 a week. But that's not blessing. And that may, and I'm sure it will, it'll pay any bills they have, and it'll give them this, and it'll give them that, and it'll give them the other. It will not give them God's salvation. It will not. See, this wholesome fulfillment in life comes when your sins are forgiven. And you're lifting up your eyes and you see the realities of eternity and life and what it's all really about, and the fact that you are a soul and you're going out into eternity and you must know the Lord. But he's a loving, merciful Savior who has a plan, who sent the dear Son of God to die on Calvary's cross. The Lord is thy keeper, the Lord is thy shade upon thy right hand. The sun shall not smite thee by day, nor the moon by night. The Lord shall preserve thee from all evil. He shall preserve thy soul. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Think about that last word in the psalm. The evermore of God's blessing and God's salvation. Tell me, have you lifted up your eyes? Are you earthbound? Is your whole world just revolve around the physical, what you see, what you eat, how you play, how you spend your leisure time? There's a lot of things people do that they're not sinful, of course, they're not. A lot of people spend a fortune in their gardens, nothing wrong with that. So I'll not be doing it. But people have their interests and people have their pastimes and people have their hobbies, but all I'm saying is you've got to lift up your eyes. You've got to look onto the hills. You've got to remember. There's that which is eternal and everlasting. God is here. And God is here tonight, and that to bless you. And he invites you to come. And even the words that have really laid hold of my soul today. Lift up your eyes. The Lord, here's a word for you tonight. Lift up your eyes. And maybe even you're here tonight and you're not a wicked, vile sinner in that sense. You're not a drunkard and you're not a gambler and you're not in the dens of vice and all the rest of it. You're not a liar and all the rest of it. But have you lifted up your eyes? Because all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and all need this Savior and need this God, and He invites you to come. And I'm glad I came. And I'm glad this psalm is my psalm. And I have lifted up my eyes, and my help cometh from the Lord. He'll help you tonight. The Lord will help you tonight. Whatever problem you have, whatever difficulty you're in, whatever doubts you have, whatever sins, whatever has gripped your life or soul, the Lord will help you. He'll help you. Let's bow our heads and our hearts before the Lord tonight. Yeah. Estelle Goodman, she sung that hymn, "Oh, there's something about a mountain that reaches to the sky, that speaks of things eternal, of a hope that never dies. Like the blessed rock of ages, reposed amid the din. I'll just go up to the mountain and keep my trust in Him." And you know, there's Mount Calvary. The Lord invites you to the cross tonight. And if you come and receive Him as your Lord and your Savior, He'll give you life, life, eternal life. And as I often testify, He not only gave me life, eternal life, but He gave me a life. And I have direction now in my life, and I have something to do with my life. And I lifted up my eyes. Heavenly Father, thank You for this psalm, Lord. Thank You for that little expression, "I will lift up mine eyes." It says so much, Lord. People don't lift up their eyes. They don't see. They don't perceive and discern eternal realities and truths. They don't discern that the devil has blinded their minds. They don't discern these things. But Lord, I thank You when a soul lifts up their eyes and by faith sees God and the greatness and the grandeur and the majesty of God and the great eternity and an awful eternity without Christ if they're not saved, but a wonderful eternity with Christ if they're saved. And pray, Lord, You'll help in the meeting tonight. Lord, You've revealed Yourself in this psalm. You're the helper of people. You're the helper of human beings who turn, Lord, and receive You. "My help cometh from the Lord." Pray, Lord, You'll bless these thoughts to every heart, and that they'll remain in every heart and in every conscience and in every mind. And now, Lord, will You part us with Your fear and blessing, and take us to our homes, Lord, tonight in safety. And may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us tonight, be with us in the morning in Thy will, and every morning till Christ comes or calls. Amen. Amen.